Hello and welcome to Journey the Monkey King with myself, Quiva, and my friend MJ, where we talk about Journey to the West. It's been actually a couple of weeks since we last recorded. Hopefully there won't be an interruption in putting out these episodes, but I got a bit sick.
Got the plague.
Well, my COVID test came back negative, but I was sick.
Yeah.
So, to remind ourselves of where we were, the pilgrimage stopped at the Abbey of the Five Villages, home of the great immortal Zhen Yuan, also called the Lord Equal to Earth. And they may have stolen a bunch of magic fruit and killed a one-of-a-kind magical sacred divine tree.
If there is anything that various mythologies and religious texts have taught us, it's that you don't fuck with magic fruit. You just don't fuck with magic fruit, people. I don't know how much clearer we can make it.
Or magic fruit festivals.
Yeah, don't go to the peach festival either.
Someone actually...
Be busy that day.
Someone on Twitter wants there to be a don't go to the peach banquet t-shirt.
Oh yes, can we make one? I want one.
Yeah, I want to do this as well, but I feel like we need more listeners before we can start like doing a merchandise shop.
I don't know. We could set up like a Redbubble or something.
Does not require a certain degree of volume. I don't know how any of this works. I'm also just trying to leverage this into asking people to you know, tell their friends to listen.
Yes, if you want Don't Go to the Peach Festival on a t-shirt, then tell your friends to listen. Rate, review on iTunes or whatever other platform will allow you to do such a thing.
Yeah, I think iTunes is kind of retired in favor of Apple Podcasts.
Oh, right, yeah. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
We're good at this.
We're so good at this. I'm chasing that Blue Apron sponsorship. That's what I'm doing. Are they still a thing?
I have no idea.
I know Bombas socks are. I mean, if any of you want to... I had to do an audit at work. If anyone wants to give us money in any form... Please. I won't be able to do this anymore. There won't be any of my brain left. I've been collating fucking log files and things all week, and I'd go to the Peach Festival right now just so I'd never have to return. So please give us money. What I'm trying to say, and you will have all the t-shirts you want, and I will keep the last remaining tattered shred of my sanity.
Well, I've not yet. We don't have a way for people to give us money yet, so maybe we need to do that.
Okay. Well, yeah. Look, I mean, like, I don't think there's any problem thinking big picture here. Just yeah. Pilgrimages. Don't go to the Peach Festival. Don't fuck with magic fruit. Where are we? We're at the Abbey.
We're at the Abbey. The Lord Equal to Earth was about to fry Tripitaka alive, and Wukong surrendered himself to stop Tripitaka being killed.
Is that like a particularly undignified death for a vegetarian?
I don't know. You're the vegetarian.
I don't know. It's not how I choose to go, but I think that has more to do with the boiling oil.
I keep like intending to be like I more days than not I don't eat meat.
Yeah, I think that kind of like we're going to all just start eating it occasionally. I think that's just the way it's gonna go. I still eat beef once a month, because I've tried iron supplements, I've tried B12 supplements, I've tried all these sorts of different bizarre green leafy things.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But
apparently my uterus just demands a blood sacrifice, so if anyone wants to give money, maybe I could use it to release myself from this this demon, this flesh-eating demon that's made its prison, its home in my flesh. We're having a lot of digressions today. I apologize for this.
No, digressions are fine. So yeah, so Wukong is giving himself up to the Lord Equal to Earth, and he makes a deal with him. Wukong promises that he will restore the ginseng fruit tree back to life if the Lord Equal to Earth will let them go. And in fact, Zhen Yuan says that if Wukong can heal his tree, he'll make him his bond brother.
Yeah. Does Wukong have any idea how he's going to heal that tree?
Absolutely not.
That's what I figured.
So Zhen Yuan has Tripitaka, Zhu Baji, and Xiao Wujing untied, and they go to talk to Wukong. And the first thing Tripitaka asks is, "Wukong, how did you manage to deceive him into letting us go?" And Wukong insists there's no deception. He is going to fix the tree. He doesn't know how he's going to do it yet, but his plan is to head to the Great Eastern Ocean and to make a tour of the three islands and the 10 islets and visit all the immortals who live there until he can find one who knows how to heal a dead magic tree.
Islets is just an adorable word.
They're like islands,
little islands, rocks really, but you know, it's cute. It's not the worst of plans.
He does have a lot of old friends.
Friends.
You know, he was very popular in heaven. Like the reason he was given the job of looking after the peach garden was literally because they were worried about him being idle and spending all day just making friends with everyone.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Like he's not someone you want as an enemy, but he's a good friend to have because he's fun and he's, you know, very violent. So you definitely want him as a friend rather than an enemy.
I have some friends like that. I feel like he's one of those friends where it's kind of like I love you, but I can only spend 30 to 40 minutes in your company at any one time. We all have friends like that. Not all of them are immortal or can make themselves into an army, but I think we all do.
Yeah. But anyway, Tripitaka asks how long it'll take, and Wukong says 3 days. Just kind of picks it out of the air. So Tripitaka says, "All right, I'll give you 3 days, and if you're not back by then, I'll start reciting the old time sutra," is what he started calling the torture spell.
Why? It's probably horrendously disrespectful that all I'm hearing is "give me that old time religion" in my head. Give me that old time sutra. It's probably horrifying on some level. I apologize to everyone.
So Wukong just says, "I hear you," and he goes to tell Equal to Earth that he'll be back soon, but he wants his master taken good care of while he's gone. He expects Tripitaka to get 3 full meals and 6 teas a day, and his clothes should be washed and starched.
Well.
Yeah. Equal to Earth just says, "Go, go, I'll see he doesn't starve to death." So Wukong flies off, and he makes his first stop at Peng Lai, where he finds the Star of Blessing and the Star of Wealth playing Go outside the White Cloud Cave, which I accidentally typed down as White Cloud Dave in my notes. Just so you know, while the Star of Longevity watches the game, he hails them. They're his old friends, and they wonder why he's here when they'd heard he was taking part in a pilgrimage. So he explains the whole situation to them. And he says they had a bit of trouble at the Abbey of the Five Villages. And as soon as he says that, they stop him there and they ask, "Did he steal the ginseng fruit?"
They know him.
Yeah, they are old friends.
He's not just the 40-minute friend. He's the, "It's so great to see you. I wish you had told me you were coming sooner so I could have removed everything valuable and breakable from your general environment," friend.
So he says, "So what if I stole them? How much could they be worth?" And they shout back, "You ape, you are dumb. How much could they be worth? It's a one-of-a-kind spiritual root." And Wukong says, "Oh, I've already uprooted it." And they say, what do you mean by uprooted it? And he goes on. He explains the rest of the story and how he's looking for a cure for the tree. And they tell him that the ginseng fruit is the very root of all divine trees, and there's no way it could be healed. So Wukong is concerned.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The Star of Blessing is a bit less defeatist, though, and he suggests, well, they don't know a way to fix it, but maybe a cure does exist somewhere else. So he says, Wukong, you know, you don't need to be so dejected. But Wukong tells him that his boss is neither tolerant nor magnanimous and has given him a limit of 3 days, which is not true. You gave that limit yourself. And if Wukong doesn't return
If you want something done, give a deadline.
Yeah. Wukong explains that if he doesn't return by then, his master will start reciting the tight fillet spell. So the three stars laugh at this and they say, good. Because if there wasn't something like that keeping Wukong in check, then he'd just be rampaging through heaven all over again.
Yeah.
He has a bit of a reputation,
guy. Yeah, a little bit. None of these people were concerned for him when he was locked. Never mind.
So the Star of Longevity does decide to help. He says that the three of them are old friends of Equal to Earth. So they'll go visit him and keep him company. And while they're there, they'll ask the Tang Monk not to recite the spell. After leaving Peng Lai, Wukong next tries the Fangjiang Mountain, where he meets the Grand Thearch of the East, who greets the Great Sage and invites him for tea. And as they sit down, another immortal walks in, Dongfang Xiao. Xiao lived in the 1st and 2nd centuries BCE. He's a real person, and he was a scholar, author, and court jester to Emperor Wu Han. And during his lifetime, he was called a banished immortal. And people said he was temporarily sent to live on Earth. Do you want to guess what he was reportedly banished for doing?
Did he fuck something up at the peach festival, Quiva?
He stole the immortal peaches.
Don't go to the peach festival! Nothing good happens there! We just retitled the novel, Peach Festival. Not worth it.
So Wukong brings this up. He laughs when he sees him and he calls him a little crook, and he asks him why he's at the Grand Thearch's home when there's no peaches there to steal. Which is, you know, glass houses.
The guy's got a rep. Yeah, yeah. I mean, oh my god. No, it's like that one party you go to in college where you all sit around like a decade later and you talk about it like Vietnam veterans. It's like you don't know, man. You weren't there. There was bacon vodka, and we don't talk about it anymore.
Dongfang gives a dig back to him. He calls Wukong an old burglar, and he asks, "What are you doing here? My master has no divine elixir for you to steal." So, Dongfang works for the Grand.
That one was fair.
Thearch now, and the Thearch. I didn't look up how to pronounce it. Actually, it's probably Thearch. Actually, because it's from like God and that. I don't even look up how to pronounce the English words. I'm terrible. I shouldn't be hosting a podcast.
You're doing great. We love you.
So the Thearch tells him to shut up and bring over some tea. And over tea, Wukong explains his current problem. So the Grand Thearch gives him a bollocking as well. And he says he is one grain of...
Don't fuck with magic fruit.
He is one grain of the great monad elixir of the nine reversions, and it can cure any illness of any sentient creature of the world, but it doesn't work on trees. And even if he had something that did, it probably still wouldn't work on the ginseng fruit tree. It's a bit special. It's literally as old as creation. It's older than the Earth. It is a very big deal. It's not easily healed.
Yeah.
So the Grand Thearch invites Wukong to stay for a cup of jade nectar, but Wukong doesn't want to waste any more time and heads off immediately to the next island, which is Yingzhou, where he finds the nine elders of Yingzhou playing Go, and he explains the situation to them as well. And they have no cure either.
Damn.
So, having had no luck on Penglai, Fangzhang, or Yingzhou, Pilgrim Sun turns to where he was, inevitably always going to end up. He heads on to the Potalaka Mountain, home of the Bodhisattva Guanxiyin.
Of course. It's really just done with all of this, but can hopefully recommend him a theological horticulturist.
So
no, it's not what happens.
We'll see. So as he arrives, she's in the middle of giving a lecture in the purple bamboo. She's in the middle of giving a lecture in the purple bamboo grove to the various celestial gardens, dragon ladies, and also mokshas there. And so she sends the great mountain guardian to greet Wukong instead of greeting him herself.
That's a flex.
The great mountain guardian, formerly known as the Black Wind King, greets the great sage, equal to heaven in a familiar manner, fuck, simply calling him Sun Wukong. And Sun Wukong thinks that that's a bit presumptuous. He thinks that the great mountain guardian owes him quite a bit. If Wukong hadn't spared him, he'd be dead back on the Black Wind Mountain rather than enjoying his current rank and position. He says, maybe you should be calling me Venerable Father instead.
Oh, I bet that went down well.
No, he takes it pretty well. He just says the great sage equal to heaven shouldn't dwell so much on the past, and he says that Guanyin sent him to greet Wukong. And on hearing that last part, Wukong becomes much more solemn and respectful. And follows the guardian to the purple bamboo grove to wait for Guanyin to be free. So Guanyin asks Wukong where they've gotten to in the pilgrimage, and Wukong explains the mess that they've gotten into. And Guanyin already knows everything that happened, but she scolds him as if she were surprised to hear it.
Yeah, I feel like she just wanted him to repeat it.
Yeah, she probably wanted him to admit it.
Everything's a flex with Guanyin. Yeah. Let's see a look in his face.
So she says that Master Zhenyuan, the Lord Equal to Earth, is the patriarch of the earthly immortals. Even she has to defer to him a little bit. She's a divine immortal, and he's the head of the earthly immortals, so he's not like her boss, but he's so important that she like still has to be respectful of him.
It's just a little diagonal in the organization. Yeah. Whoa, I am now far more impressed about this guy.
So she asks, you know, why the fuck did you damage his tree?
Yeah, that's a great question.
So
this was entirely unnecessary and completely your fault.
So Pilgrim Sun says, your disciple was truly ignorant, and he fesses up completely, and he tells her about the search he's had up until now trying to find a cure. So Guanyin asks him, why didn't he just come straight to her instead of looking in all these other places first? On hearing Guanyin scold her like that, Wukong is actually delighted, because he thinks she wouldn't have said that unless she was able to fix it herself. But he keeps his poker face and humbly begs her for help. And she does in fact have something that can heal the divine tree. She has some magic sweet dew that she keeps in a magic vase that she has.
Yeah, the reason he didn't come to her first is the boy is afraid, as he should be.
Yeah. So Wukong asks if she's ever tested this before, and she has. She won a wager with Lao Zi by using it to heal her magic willow branch after he burnt it in his brazier.
Not a brazier, definitely a brazier.
I do love that when asked about her ability to heal divine trees, her response is, oh yeah, I used it before to win a bet.
I love it. What? When are we going to get Guan Yin the Wilderness Years?
Oh, that would be a good book.
That's what I want to know. I just want to know what that bet was. I want to know what she got up to before she became this fucking badass. I just want a series, but I'm maybe a little in love.
I mean, I'm sure there is shitloads of stories about her. She is like a real. She is you know a religious figure outside of this novel. I'm sure there are thousands and thousands of stories centering her. So Guan Yin and Wukong fly off together back to the Abbey of the Five Villages, where they're greeted by the Lord Equal to Earth, who gladly leads Guan Yin back to his garden to see the tree. And Guan Yin tells Wukong to hold out his hand, and she dips her willow twig in the vase and then brushes it across Wukong's left palm and tells him to place it at the base of the tree and watch for signs of water spurting out. So Wukong makes a fist and he holds it under the roots, and after a while a spring wells up from the ground underneath his hand. Guan Yin tells them to scoop up the water in a jade ladle, pull the tree upright, and then pour the water on it from the top down.
Okay.
So, Zhen Yuan says that, you know, they're Kulchis, they live in the middle of nowhere, they don't have anything as fancy as a jade ladle. will jade teacups do?
Should do.
Yeah, as long as it's made of jade, it's fine. It's just that the water can't be touched by anything containing one of the five elements. Which is interesting, because one of the five elements is water. Anyway, Wukong, Baji, and Wujing hold up the tree while Equal to Earth's disciples fill up the teacups with water and hand them off to Guan Yin, who sprinkles it over the tree. After a little bit of this, all at once the tree springs back to life, the leaves turn green again, the roots heal, and 23 ginseng fruits sprout back to life on it.
Nice, woo!
Yeah, once again, Guan Yin just fixes everything.
Yay, Guan Yin fixes everything. This should be the alternate title of the novel. Or, why you shouldn't go to the... Don't go to the Peach Festival, it's not worth it, or Guan Yin fixes everything.
Yeah, let's change the name of the podcast.
This is now a Guan Yin Stan podcast.
So, to celebrate, Equal to Earth decides to host a huge banquet for everyone. So, he has the gold mallet brought out, and he knocks off 10 more ginseng fruits to hold a feast. Guan Yin is given the seat of honor, with the three elders from Peng Lai, who are still here, seated to the right, on the left, actually. And the tank monk on the right. I like that misprint.
Tank monk. Love it.
That's just in my copy of the book. It's a good misprint.
Love it.
Guan Yin and the three elders dig into their ginseng fruit. And Tripitaka, seeing this, is finally convinced that they're not actually literally babies and eats one himself.
Okay.
Wukong, Baji, and Wujing actually get another one each.
That just does not seem fair.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary. Zhen Yuan's being a bit generous, and he has one himself, and the 10th one is divided up amongst everyone else at the abbey.
Everyone, like all the monks, or everyone, the what were they called? The two immortal leads?
Yeah.
Who were supposed to be, you know, they fell asleep on the job, but I mean, they could have. You didn't have to give extra ones to
the lads who already stole some. Yeah,
yeah. One of which is already like quadruple immortal. So I don't know. Okay, that's not the way I would have done it. It's not my party. I'll defer to the host's judgment, I guess. So.
Yeah. After they're finished eating, the three stars and Guanyin head back to Peng Lai and Potlaka respectively, and Xianyuan brings out some vegetarian wine to have a few drinks. So
I am so puzzled by the vegetarian wine.
And most wine isn't vegetarian, right? As far as I understand.
No. Well, I mean, it's not a problem for me anymore anyway, but it's like, I think most wine is vegetarian. There's some beers that aren't, because they push it all through fish bladders and shit. But
yeah, I thought that was pretty. I thought that was kind of thing was very common with wine as well.
Is there blood in the? I don't understand.
I'm not sure. I know nothing about wine. I mean, this is, you know, this is written in Ming Dynasty China, so maybe their wine producing customs weren't generally vegetarian, and maybe they are. Maybe that's more common now. I don't know anything about wine. I like the red ones more than the white ones. That's about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, over drinks, the Lord equal to Earth, as promised, declares the great sage equal to heaven to be his bond brother.
Nice.
So they're
just gonna let bygones be bygones.
Yeah. No, he's delighted. Like the tree is healed. He didn't think that was like possible. And he's more than willing to forgive everything because of that, despite the fact that they killed the tree in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
And after the festivities, the pilgrims tuck in to spend one more night in the abbey.
I'm sure they feel very safe.
Yeah, this is the end of the chapter, by the way.
Well, that was a great chapter. It had Guanyin in it. And that's always a good time for me. So, yay, thank you. We're gonna have to see that the tree is now fine. Just anyone out there, I cannot stress this enough, people. Magic fruit, leave it alone.
It's wise words to live by.
Magic, leave the magic fruit alone. Just don't. There's some really good, like, 6 for 6 deals in Lidl at the minute. You don't need the magic fruit. It's just not, it's not worth it. Never worth it.
I am looking forward to the next chapter because it's actually one of my favorite ones.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I'm excited with it. For it. I am excited for it.
I was about to read the title of it and then I realized, like most, like a lot of the chapters, the title is a huge spoiler, so I won't. Like, the title of this chapter is Amid the Three Islands, Sun Wukong Seeks a Cure with Sweet Dew, Guan Xi Yin Revives a Tree. I'm not giving you the experience of actually reading the book, because if I actually read the chapter titles, you'd know the ending of this chapter immediately. So I am kind of keeping those hidden a little bit.
Yeah, that's less of a chapter title, but more of a summary.
They're like almost all like that. They just, like, it's a little couplet that tells you what's going to happen.
Okay, you got built-in cliff notes. Nice, I like it. I like it a lot. Anyway, we're gonna look at other possibly. I'm determined we're gonna get those peach t-shirts out there. The peach festival is gonna sound like a euphemism. I'm okay with that. I'm very okay with that. So yep, social media details and such in show notes.
Yeah,
I believe I do not write them.
Yeah, I always put them there. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tie your friends up, put headphones on, and just force them to listen to this podcast.
I mean, if they are into that, that sounds like a good time to me. So, yeah, go for it. Yay!
Okay, bye.
Bye now.